In your Bibles to Acts in chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. I'd like to share a message with you tonight from a passage here that oftentimes we missionaries use to, or even pastors use to show about the work of a missionary, some of the methods that missionaries use about coming back to their supporting churches, coming back to their sending churches to report on what God has done. But I'd like to, this tonight, key in on one phrase here. We'll read a few verses here, but I'd like to key in on one phrase here tonight and speak to you tonight about this idea that God had opened the door of faith. And we find that here in verse 27, but let's read a few other verses to kind of get the context here. In Acts in chapter 14, it says, and when they had, verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, Paul and his co-workers there, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia and thence sailed to Antioch. And from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Now here we have Paul and his co-workers here returning back to their sending church, the church in Antioch, to report to them, and as it says here, to share with them all that God had done with them and through them on their missionary journey, and how they had traveled through all these other cities preaching the gospel, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and seeing people saved and churches established. And here they came back to the church in Antioch from where they had been sent out, as it says here, where they were commended to the grace of God in verse 26 for the work which they had fulfilled. But it says here in verse 27, and at the end of verse 27, how he had, speaking of God, it says, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. How he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now, I am so glad that God opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Because I am a Gentile. I was not born into a Jewish family. I'm not a Jew. And I'm so glad that he opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now, we won't take time to go back to the Old Testament to look, and it's kind of, it's almost a whole different study in and of itself, but we know that God gave Abraham the covenant, made a covenant with Abraham that through him all nations would be blessed. And that was speaking about how through the lineage of Abraham, Jesus Christ the Savior would come. And then after Abraham and his descendants and his sons and the tribes of Israel, and we, if we were to take time to look back, we'd see that God had promised that through them, not only would the lineage of Abraham come down to the Savior, Jesus Christ, but that through God's plan was that through them he would bless the nations. And those that bless Israel would be blessed, and those that cursed Israel would be cursed. And I'm sure many of you are aware of that. But how he had designed to use the tribes of Israel to bring, to show forth the blessings of God to the rest of the world at that time. And how he had planned to use Israel to proclaim his glory, to show forth his glory. But through the centuries, through the years, and up until the time of Christ, it got to the point where Israel was no longer doing just that. They were pretty much saying, we're the chosen ones, we're the chosen ones of God, and we're here. And they had, because they had been through so much with the heathen nations around them, going into enslavement and all those different things as a result of judgment upon their sin, they got to a point where at the time of Christ, It's just like us few and no more. They weren't doing, as far as evangelistic work, proclaiming the gospel or showing God's glory to others. In fact, they were so closed and narrow-minded when there's a time of them under the Roman Empire that they hated the Gentiles. They absolutely hated the Gentiles. They hated the Samaritans. And that was not God's plan. But here it says here how after Christ was crucified and after he rose again, and we know through the story of Acts, and your pastor is going to take you through the first eight books of Acts, and he's going to explain to you about the church and cover all that. But God had now again opened the door of faith into the Gentiles. How God was using Paul and these out of the first few churches to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ unto the Gentiles. And as it says here, how he had opened the door to Gentiles. And I'm so glad he did, because first of all, this indicates a desired response on our part. A desired response on our part. God desired that we respond. God desires even today that we respond. The door is still open. God did not open it one day and shut it the next day. The door of faith is still open to us. Why? Because God desires that we respond. And we see that over and over and over through the Bible. Think about this with me. Back in Genesis, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, God came to them in the garden, calling out to them, did he not? Adam, Adam, where art thou? Why did God do that? When he's God, he could have appeared right there in front of their faces and called them out for their sin. God came to them compassionately, calling out to them. Why? Because God desired that they respond to him. And it's the same that holds true today, my friends. God desires that you and I respond to him and to his word. He desires that the lost people around us hear the word of God and respond to the word of God. That's God's desire. He desires us that we respond to his word. And so we see here, first of all, this indicates that when God opened, how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, that God did so because he desired a response upon the Gentiles' part. God didn't just on a whim decide one day to open the door of faith. God doesn't operate that way. Everything God does, he does with a plan and a reason and a purpose behind it. He desires that we respond to his word. He desires that we respond to his presence. He desires that we respond to his power and majesty. He desires that you and I respond to his love and his grace. God opened this door, and it's open to all. If you would, turn with me over to Titus in chapter 2. Titus in chapter 2. I'd like to show you something here. I know many of you, if not all of you, have seen this at least once, but maybe for some of you it's new. Titus in chapter 2 and verse 11. Titus in chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says this: for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. To all men and women. Let's be inclusive here. All women. It's appeared to everyone. That's why we can go down to Argentina and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's his grace has appeared to all people. It's not just for the North Americans. It's not just for those of you here in Alexandria, Virginia. God cares for those out in El Paso, Texas, too. He cares for the Argentines. He cares for those in Russia. He cares for everybody. The door of faith was opened because God desires your response. And the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It's not just for a limited few. It's not just for those that think and the same as we do, or dress the same as we do. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God desires a response. That's why he sends out, wants us to go out and proclaim the gospel. God desires that man will respond and step through that door of faith. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible talks in both of those chapters there about those that obey not the gospel. Again, indicating that there is a response on our part that God desires. God desires that you and I respond to the gospel. He desires that you and I obey the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not just having a mental affirmation that God exists. Down in Argentina, we talk to people, and practically everybody I talk to about the gospel. Hey, do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. Hey, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, how do you get to heaven? Well, I don't know. Do you know God? Well, I don't know if you can know God. I believe in him. See, folks, the thing is, most of the people we talk to down there are just mentally affirming that God exists, that they believe that there's a God out there, but they don't know him. They have no personal relationship with him. They've never experienced repentance and forgiveness of their sins. They just believe that he exists. Now, how you get to heaven? I don't know. Many of them say, well, I hope I'll get to heaven. Maybe at the end of it all, I've had people tell me, well, at the end of it all, I hope that when God puts all my good things in one side of the scale and puts all my bad things in the other side of the scale, that the good will outweigh the bad. And I'm sorry, friends, that's not how it works. You can go through your life doing all kinds of good deeds and have everything piled up on the good side and nothing on the bad side, and still not good enough. Because the Bible says our works of righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. And so there we need to respond and obey the gospel. God opened this door for a reason, because he wants us to respond. But you know, you and I still have to respond. He opened it, but you and I still have to decide and act. You know, it's like it says that salvation is a gift of God. Now I can have a nice box up here, all beautifully wrapped with a nice bow tied up on top, and put a name on the front here and say it's a present for any one of you. It's a gift, but one of you had to come up here and get it. See, one of you, whoever it would be for, would have to come and receive it. You have to act upon that. And God desires, he opened this door of faith because he desires that we respond, but we have to respond. He's not going to force any one of us. And those of you that are born again children of God here tonight, we know that. God is not going to force any one of us. We can't force anybody to get saved. But he still desires that we respond. I mean, if I could make all the Argentines get saved, I would do it. I really would. But I can't. All we can do is share the gospel and pray that they will respond. God desires a response. Secondly, we see here in this text, back in Acts chapter 14, how that God opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. It also indicates a delegated responsibility. If there's a desired response on God's part for that we respond, there's also a delegated responsibility. And Christ delegated that responsibility to the members of his church over there in Matthew chapter 28. When he gave the church that he started the Great Commission to go and preach the gospel to every creature, he delegated that responsibility. Now, I'm sure many of you, I have been in military service or government service. We know all about delegated responsibility, do we not? I served in the Army 8.5 years. I know all about delegated responsibility, delegated authority. God, Christ delegated this responsibility to his church. Why? Because he left this world physically. He seated at the right hand of the Father on high, even as we speak. But he delegated that responsibility to proclaim the gospel to the church that he established, and down through the years, down through the ages, that responsibility has been delegated and passed on from church to church to church. Christ delegated us, gave us this responsibility. It's our task that once we have stepped through that door of faith to lead others to that same door. We have that responsibility, my friends, to lead others to that same door of faith. Why? Because there are many millions in the world, if not billions, that are blinded to that fact. They have been blinded by sin in their life. They've been blinded by Satan, our adversary, to the fact that the door of faith has been opened to them. They don't know that the door's been opened. They can't even find the way to the door without some help. We have to take upon ourselves that responsibility and lead others to the door of faith. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it talks about the fact that Satan has blinded them. Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it said, the Bible says this here: in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so here we're talking about those that, first of all, they don't believe like we believe. The lost folk of this world, the lost people of this world. And it says here that the God, little g, Satan, the God of this world, hath blinded their minds. Why? It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, Satan doesn't want the gospel of Jesus Christ shining on them. Doesn't want the light opening, lighting up their hearts and their minds. He doesn't want them to see that the door of faith has been opened unto them, that they might enter in and be saved. God, Satan doesn't want that. Satan does all he can to keep them blinded. But we need to be like that seeing eye dog, that friend that leads that blind person to the door. We need to be like that friend that loves them and cares for them and wants them to find their way to the door. We can't make them, like I said, we can't make them go through. They have to decide and respond. But we can lead them to the door. And if you're a child of God here tonight, I'm pretty sure that somebody somewhere in your lifetime led you to that door also. I remember growing up, going to church as a kid, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night with my parents, hearing the gospel preached over and over and over again. And then one Easter Sunday when I was 10, almost 11 years old, I heard it again. And that morning, God knocked on my heart's door, and it clicked. And God opened that door of faith to me, and I realized it was open to me. Somebody led me to that door, the preacher, the pastor of that church. He preached the message. He led me to that door, and I got saved that day. Thank the Lord for that. But think about those that you might work with, those that you rub elbows with, those that live around your house. Who's taking them to that door? Who's taking time to lead them to the door of faith that they might step through? Now, I know many will resist. I know that. Down in Argentina, they resist a lot. A lot of them don't even want to hear it. But we still have that responsibility that's been delegated to us to try to lead them to that door. You know, just like the old saying, you could lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. We can lead a lost person to Christ, but we can't make them get saved. But still our responsibility. It's still our responsibility. Also, we see here that not only is there a desired response and a delegated responsibility, but there's a definite reward. A definite reward, my friends, in leading others to this door of faith. Leading others to this door of faith. First of all, let me read to you 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you want to follow me, you can. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says here in verse 19, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Now, Paul, and he said, goes on to say, Paul writes here, speaking about those believers in Thessalonica, he says, "For ye are our glory and joy." Ye are our glory and joy. And then over in Philippians, he writes much the same thing about the believers in Philippi. Philippians in chapter 4, verse 1, a whole different church, a whole different group of believers. He says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Now, why would he write such things? He was inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit to write him, of course. But he looked upon those people as though they were a joy and a crown to him. Why? Because he was utilized by God, he and his co-workers, to bring these people, these believers, to God for salvation, to Christ. Led them to that door of faith. And because of that, they were to him a joy and a crown. Now the crown is speaking about our future rewards. The Bible speaks about the fact that when we get to heaven, we'll receive crowns. We'll receive rewards in heaven. I don't have a crown right now. I don't see any of you wearing a crown. That's future. But presently, there's a joy. There's a joy in leading others to Christ. There's a joy in seeing people get saved. There's a joy in seeing others bow their heads and ask God to forgive them of their sins and to save their souls. There's a joy in seeing, knowing the fact that God has utilized us in helping others and bringing others to Christ, and that their eternal destiny is changed forever. There's a joy in that. There's a joy in that. And Paul recognized that. I'm sure that Paul felt immense joy seeing these people get saved, seeing these people come to Christ and become disciples of Christ and growing spiritually. I'm sure there's immense joy. And think about this fact that he was physically beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, cast in jail. He suffered greatly physically. But we see that when he wrote to these believers, he talked to them and expressed to them about the joy that he felt because of them. The joy he felt because of them. And my friends, there's a definite reward when we take time to lead others to this door of faith and seeing them step through by faith. There's a joy in seeing others cry out to God for forgiveness of their sins and asking him to save them and save their souls. There's a joy in seeing God work and change lives. There's a joy in that. There's a joy. Over in James in chapter 1, James in chapter 1, it says here, James chapter 1, verse 12, he says here, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." And he says, let's see here. Now I forgot my verse here. I'm sorry. But about running the race. Let's see here. Running the race. That is, hang on just a minute. Running the race. But Paul also wrote about running the race and running for the mastery and striving to serve the Lord. And we need to do so in an approved manner. We need to do so that we don't be disqualified in this race. But you know what, my friends? There is a crown waiting for those of us that are his children in heaven. There are rewards waiting for us in heaven, but now we get to experience joy in serving the Lord. Now we get to experience joy in bringing others to Jesus Christ. Now we get to experience joy in when we see others be saved. Why? Because God has opened the door of faith. God has opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And as I said before, I won't belabor the point, but you and I have a responsibility to take others, lead others to that door of faith by simply sharing our testimony of salvation, by telling others that what Jesus Christ has done for us. You know, I know it's years ago, it's very popular to use the Romans Road. What we term the Romans Road, and use that to try to lead others to Christ. But, you know, down in Argentina, unfortunately, many of the people we deal with have a very low reading comprehension. And using something like the Romans Road is not very effective. First of all, because their reading comprehension is so low that they don't really grasp a lot of what they read if we were to show them those verses. And so we have to be much more patient and much more persistent and take a much more time sharing with those people little bits at a time. And another reason is because they really have no Bible education. Years ago, at least the part of the United States where I grew up, even the lost people had some basic understanding of what the Bible taught. I know that nowadays it seems like more and more our country is getting to the point where more and more people don't even have a basic Bible education. They have no concept of what the Bible actually talks about, what the Bible actually teaches. And so we have to take more time in sharing the gospel with others. Give it to them in little bites and pieces. And along with that, open up our lives to them so they can see that it's not just an idea. That the gospel of Christ is not just words out of a book that somebody's repeating. That the gospel of Christ applies to their lives as well as it does to our lives. But we do that so that we can be used of God to lead those individuals to that door of faith. And carefully and patiently, compassionately lead them to that door. Prayerfully, so that once they get to that door and they realize that door of faith is open to them and their path to heaven does not lie in doing good deeds. It does not lie in doing good works. It does not lie in some religious rituals. It lies solely and by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And when they realize that and they see that the door is open to them, we prayerfully hope and pray that they step through that door. But you and I can't drag them through the door kicking and screaming. We can't. But, my friends, in closing, we still have that responsibility. We still have the responsibility to share the gospel with others, to do our part in leading others to that door, because God opened the door for a reason. God opened the door of faith for a reason, because he loves those people and he wants them to respond and step through that door. He wants them to respond. My question tonight is, what are you and I doing to lead others to that door? We see God opened the door for a reason. He desires a response. But what are we doing? There's two active personages in that formula. God on one hand and us on the other. What are we doing for our part? Again, not everybody's going to respond. I know that, but that should not keep us from trying. It should not keep us from doing our part, fulfilling our delegated responsibility. I just pray that you and I will do the best we can with God's help and his grace to do our part to lead others to that door. To lead others to that door of faith, because God desires that they have an opportunity to respond. He desires that they respond. And just remember this, that there is a reward. There's a definite reward, both now and in the future, for us fulfilling our responsibility. When we see those get saved, there's joy. And when we are faithful and fulfilling our responsibility, there's a crown in heaven waiting for us to cast at the Savior's feet. Let's stand and bow our heads, please. And we'll close in a word of prayer as the pianist comes forward to prepare for hymn of invitation. Dear Lord, we thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Lord, I am so grateful that you did so and that you gave me multiple opportunities to respond. And one day I did. I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you, Father, for those that are here tonight that have responded at one point in their life. And they responded to that open door and of faith and stepped through, believing in Christ, trusting in Christ. But Lord, maybe there's some here tonight that never have responded to the gospel, never have obeyed the gospel, never have taken the opportunity to step through that door of faith, trusting solely and only in Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls, for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, if there's an individual here tonight that has never stepped through the door of faith, I pray that you would, your Holy Spirit would work tonight and convict and draw that person, and that they would come to you and step through that door of faith, trusting in Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those of us that are Christians, I pray that you would help us in the days and weeks and months ahead, the time that we have. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful in fulfilling our responsibility of leading others to that door of faith. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done, for what you're going to do. Help us, Lord. We need your help. And in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now's the time of invitation. As the pianist plays and sings, maybe God has spoken to your heart. You can come forward and deal with God.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness. Watch and pray. Find in me thine all in.
Maybe you realize that you've not been fulfilling your responsibility like you could have been. You can come forward and deal with the Lord. Let the Lord work in your heart.
Sin had left a crimson stain.
Maybe there's somebody here tonight that has never stepped through that door of faith. Maybe there's an individual here tonight that, though you're in church, you've never truly put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. Maybe you've never stepped through that door of faith. Maybe you're still trusting in some sort of religious ritual or good works. You can come forward and somebody can help you and show you with the Bible, God's Word, how you can be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Just want to encourage you to be faithful, do your part. To share the gospel with others. To be faithful in fulfilling that responsibility that's been delegated to us. It's not just the missionary's responsibility, it's not just the pastor's responsibility. We each have that responsibility to lead others to that door, to be those of us that have received sight, to lead others that are blinded by Satan, by this world, by sin. Lead them to that door of faith that they might respond and step through, and that their eternal destiny would be changed forever. Oh, well. I don't know if anybody has some announcements or something that they need to make. I don't know. But let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you for those that are here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just help us, Lord, encourage our hearts to be faithful to you and to the responsibility that you've given us, Lord. And for Pastor John, I pray you give him safe travel. Pray you bring him back as soon as possible to hit this church and to his family, Lord. And Lord, just help us to be mindful as we go through our day, Lord, to think about the responsibility that you've given us and look for those opportunities, Father, to share the gospel with others, knowing that you desire that they respond, knowing that you want them to obey the gospel, Father. We thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.